This is AWLS, podcasts on wilderness medicine from the University of Utah School of Medicine.
Hello, my name is Natalie Coons at Stanford University. Today we will be discussing red tide, another term used to describe harmful algae blooms within the ocean. Red tide is caused by colonies of algae, which are plant-like organisms that live in the ocean and within fresh bodies of water that grow and expand out of control. These photosynthetic organisms can produce toxins that are harmful to humans, fish, shellfish, marine mammals, and birds. This topic came to mind while completing my Associate in Wilderness Medicine curriculum while on the southern Gulf Coast of Florida when an episode of harmful algae bloom debilitated the community. I thought that discussing this harmful respiratory irritant might inform individuals traveling to areas that may be affected by such environmental toxins and may be beneficial to individuals interested in wilderness medicine. Many algae blooms are in fact beneficial for the marine ecosystems within the ocean, which can be a major food source for marine life and plants that are actually a major source of energy that fuels the ocean food web. However, a small percentage of algae produce powerful toxins, which can be harmful. Some examples of these include toxic and noxious phytoplankton, cyanobacteria, or blue-green algae, benthic algae, and macroalgae. Each of these different algae have different harmful impacts on human health. Specific areas are more prone to certain toxic algae based on environmental factors, including sunlight, water temperature, nutrients, salinity, speed and direction of wind and water current. The duration of these events also vary based on location. Red tide in Florida can last as little as a few weeks to longer than a year. The duration of a bloom depends on the physical and biological conditions that influence its growth persistence, including sunlight, water temperature, nutrients, as well as the speed and direction of the wind and water currents. Harmful algae blooms have been reported in every U.S. coastal state, and the occurrence has been on the rise. These blooms not only impact the health of humans and marine ecosystems, but they impact the health of local and regional economies, specifically ones that rely on seafood as trade. Specifically, on the Gulf Coast of Florida, the outbreak of the red tide organism Carina brevis has been prominent for many years. The organism was detected in 79 samples along the coast of Florida in most recent months. Satellite imagery used by the National Centers for Coastal Ocean Science is used to help track the bloom of algae within this region. This monitoring system is able to routinely deliver near real-time products for the use of location, monitoring, and quantifying algae blooms in coastal and lake regions of the U.S. Concentration maps are available to residents of these areas based on these analyses. The forecasting systems monitor different regions throughout the U.S., including the Gulf of Mexico and Florida, the Gulf of Maine, the Pacific Northwest, Lake Erie, and California. Ecological forecasts use measurements of the physical and biological environment to predict ecological conditions that can impact the natural resources, people, communities, and economies. The National Centers for Coastal Ocean Science aim to deliver accurate, relevant, timely, and reliable forecasts that power the blue economy and build climate resilience. Many different red tide organisms have individual effects on human health. In today's episode, I will highlight two different toxic algae blooms and how they impact human health. The first one is cyanobacteria, which is the most prevalent and harmful freshwater algae organism that continues to threaten human and ecosystem health. These bacteria can manifest as visual discolorations in fresh bodies of water. These bacteria are highly adaptable and have adapted to different variable environmental conditions, making them survive and proliferate amongst changing climates. It has been documented in all 50 states, and 25 states have begun to issue health advisories surrounding this bloom. Humans can be exposed to these cyanotoxins through contaminated water. The major human health effect is GI complications, liver damage, neurological symptoms, and potentially even death. The health complications from chronic low-level exposures are currently unknown. Many current researchers are looking into how the cyanobacterial-produced toxic amino acids are connected with neurological diseases such as Alzheimer's. Other exposure can be caused from direct skin contact, inhalation, or ingestion, also causing rashes and allergic reactions. Alternatively, dinoflagellates are different types of phytoplankton, and they are the most common harmful algae bloom species in marine and brackish waters, including estuaries. Some of these blooms discolor the water different shades of red and brown, and a few are bioluminescent. looking at Carina brevis, the dinoflagellate that has dominated the Gulf Coast of Florida for the past few years, have had serious impacts on human and marine health. K. brevis produces 9 potent polyether brevitoxins. These toxins can be transferred from water to air in wind-powered white-capped waves. They are sodium channel neurotoxins and possibly act as histamine activators that can induce adverse pulmonary responses when aerosolized and subsequently inhaled by marine animals or humans. In experimental animals, brevitoxins cause significant bronchoconstriction. Inhalation exposure to marine aerosol-containing brevitoxins causes severe respiratory symptoms. It can also cause skin irritation, eye irritation, and allergic reactions. Individuals exposed in areas with red tide events exhibit a variety of upper and lower respiratory symptoms, including coughing, sneezing, rhinorrhea, and bronchoconstriction. The toxins can also make their way into shellfish, and if people ingest this toxin, GI problems can occur. Clinical effects may present soon after exposure and may include fever, headache, rash, eye irritation, myalgias, vomiting, diarrhea, respiratory distress, wheezing, and neurological symptoms such as paresthesias and confusion. Given the nonspecific nature of the presentation, the clinician must have a high degree of suspicion, especially in patients with unexplained neurological findings, and ask about exposure to water to make the diagnosis. For me personally, my asthma was triggered where I had to take my inhaler before walking on the beach or even had to spend a few days indoors with windows and doors closed to avoid the respiratory irritation of the airborne toxin. Not only does this lead to impacts on human health, but many of these organisms, including K. brevis, block sunlight and deplete oxygen within the ocean, leading to large fish die-offs and leaving dead fish to engulf the beaches. Reporting sick, injured, entangled, stranded, or dead animals are the best way to make sure professional responders and scientists know about it and can take appropriate action. Numerous organizations around the country are trained and ready to respond. If you see a sick, injured, stranded, or dead marine animal, immediately contact your local stranding network. This can also cause respiratory irritation due to the inhalation of particles due to dead fish. Treatment is simply leaving the area where most affected, going into air conditioning, and providing maintenance therapy to individuals with asthma or COPD. If you continue to have respiratory symptoms that persist, seeking medical attention is advised. In addition, wearing a particle filter mask may lessen the effects, and research shows that over-the-counter antihistamines may decrease your symptoms. Many people are still able to swim in red tide, however, it can cause skin and eye irritation. If you do choose to swim and experience this, get out of the water and thoroughly rinse with fresh water. Commercial seafood found in restaurants and grocery stores is safe because it comes from red tide-free water and is monitored by the government. Recreational fishermen must be careful and should not consume clams or oysters taken from red tide waters as they contain toxins that cause a food poisoning called neurotoxic shellfish poisoning. Finfish, caught live and healthy, can be eaten if filtered. Edible parts of other animals, commonly called shellfish, such as crabs, shrimp, and lobsters, are not affected by red tide and can be eaten. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration continually monitors outbreaks of harmful algae throughout different regions of the country. Coastal inhabitants are at risk of exposure to harmful algae blooms. Although ingestion exposures have been well documented and understood, there is significant risk for these toxins to be aerosolized and cause respiratory distress. Humans, pet, wildlife are all at risk, especially humans with underlying respiratory disease. The harmful algae bloom forecasts and bulletins alert coastal managers to blooms before they result in serious damage and identify the risk of respiratory irritation in a county over the coming days. Short-term forecasts identify which blooms are potentially harmful, where they are, how big they are, and where they are likely headed. Longer-term seasonal forecasts predict the severity of harmful algae blooms for the bloom season in a particular region. The bulletins provide decision makers with a more in-depth analysis of current bloom location and reported impacts, as well as forecasts of potential development, intensification, transport, and associated impacts of blooms. Current research studies and efforts to increase forecasting throughout the country continue. The National Ocean Service has incredible resources for more information about harmful algae blooms and the current surveillance that is occurring throughout the United States. Thank you so much for listening.